sit comfortably beside you and say, the Lord bless you.
Praise God. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
Praise God. The Lord bless each and every one that's here. And there is a few folks on holidays. We trust the Lord will bless them. And maybe a few still going on holidays. I trust the Lord will bless them. And praise God. Let's turn to Hebrews this morning. And I won't try and hold you too long today. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 and verse 18. And just some thoughts from really the verse 17 this morning. And I believe Hebrews is a tremendous book of the Bible. Maybe we could read from verse 16 of Hebrews 6. For men verily swear by the Creator an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Just let's bow our heads again while we pray. If you have a need this morning, where every head's bowed and every eye closed, just lift your hand to the Lord and I'll remember you in prayer. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God bless you, God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we do humbly bow before you this morning in the lovely and precious name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee for the songs we've been singing about the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank you, Lord, for redemption's plan. We thank you for the mighty gulf that Christ did span at Calvary.
Amen.
Father, I pray this morning that you'll cover us afresh with the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
I pray that you'll wash us afresh with the washing of the water of your word. Lord, that you'll sanctify us. Lord, that the Holy Spirit will fill our hearts and minds and lives afresh and anew today. We ask that the word of God will henceforth take preeminence in our midst, in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives. We pray for the hands that's raised, that Lord, you will meet the need in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we ask you to bind every work of the devil. We ask that all reasoning and all vain imaginations will be brought under subjection and cast down in the name of Jesus Christ the Lord. We pray the Holy Spirit will have his way.
Amen.
Lord, that you'll search the thoughts and hearts and the very intents of the hearts. For we know your word is sharper than any two-edged sword, discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. Father, I pray you'll answer men and women. Things are praying and things they're thinking about. Pray, Lord, you'll come in such a way that you'll strengthen your own people and do them good.
Amen.
Ask, Lord, for those that's nearly saved that you'll continue them on.
Amen.
Give them the confirmation they need. Lead them and guide them and strengthen them. Cover them with your blood. Oh, God, give them courage and strength today. In Jesus Christ's name. Father, I take the promised Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you, you do, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. This may be seated. Praise God. I want this morning just to take really this word, immutable. Immutability. From a verse 17. The immutability of God's counsel. There's lots of people can give us counsel. There's lots of people can tell us what to do. But is it God's will? We have to know the will of God, and we can know the will of God. And we can know the will of God without doubt and without fear. And we can absolutely know the will of God in our lives. For God has a will. and he has a will for us to know. The immutability of God's counsel, that which the Lord was pleased clearly to manifest to the heirs of promise here, he tells us. He said the immutability of his counsel, and the word counsel here means to will. God has a will that he wants to will. God has a will for you, and God has a will for me. Now I will ask the question at the very start of this service. Whom did God take counsel with? Himself. No one. Because he is Almighty God. God took counsel with no man. And God took counsel with no angel. And God took counsel with no superior being. For there is none superior than Almighty God himself. So therefore God's first thought of anything is absolutely perfect. And it can never be altered, neither can it be changed, neither can it be brought out in a superior or greater way, because the first way God says it is the best way. Amen. So when the Lord speaks to you from his word, there's no better way for him to speak to you. There can be no superior way. For he is Almighty God. I want to stress the very importance this morning, first of all in this service, that there is none greater than Almighty God. For him knowing all things from the beginning, and even before he was known as God, he was indeed the self-existing one that dwelt alone with his thoughts. And in him, even then, before he was known as God, was attributes for your salvation and for your healing and for everything we'll ever need was already provided before the foundation of the world in Almighty God. There's nothing that God is going to lose, or there's no one that God is going to lose or fall short or come up short. That's absolutely contrary to the Word of God. And I said it Wednesday night, and I'm going to repeat it. There is absolutely nobody can take your place. A lot of preachers preach, if you don't do it, God will remove you and somebody else will do it. That is absolutely contrary to the Bible. I could show you so many examples of that to prove that that's wrong. The Lord sets his heart on you. He will bring you to where he wants to bring you, because the word of God says that which God has begun in you, he will perform even unto that day. And no good thing will the Lord withhold from them that walk uprightly before him. Even Jonah decided, I'll go a different way. But he ended up doing what God wanted him to do. Now I don't want to get away from this thought this morning, the will or the meaning of the will of God, the counsel, the immutability of God's counsel. With whom did God, I said, God took counsel with no man, and he took counsel with himself. That's who God took counsel with. In Acts 13:36, it said, for David, after he served his own generation, by the will of God fell asleep, and was led upon his fathers and saw corruption. Now David was a great man, but the Bible says he saw corruption. But you can read from the book of Psalms that Jesus Christ never saw corruption. When you're working with Jesus, you're working with the Word. Don't forget John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not another God, but God. Singular. Almighty. And Jesus Christ never saw corruption. There's no, you could say, well, you know, brother so-and-so made a mistake. He could have. But God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
Mutable. For God's counsel is his will. The which God willeth is the best counsel that possibly can be. Whatever God willeth, that's the best counsel. What does God willeth for you? First of all, God willeth that all men might repent and be saved. That's what God willeth. Paul said that it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. So God willeth that all should be saved. So the fact that you are saved is because God willeth. You didn't will it, God willed it. God willed it. Not only did God will it, but the Holy Spirit moved you to the realization in your heart that you needed the Savior. It is absolutely and totally the work of Almighty God. Man has nothing to do with it. I heard a good preacher, that's great. There's lots of them. And there's lots of bad ones too. But it's not the fact that you heard a good preacher that you could see him. You could see it because God will it. That's why you could see it. You could see it because before the foundation of this world, your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You never got your name in a book on a certain date when you prayed and made a decision. Your name was always in there. God knew you. God foreordained you, according to Romans and Ephesians, before the foundation of the world, to the pleasure of his own goodwill. He loved you even before you were born.
Amen.
And he willed it that you would be saved and you would come to know the Lord. God willed it.
Amen.
Now God didn't take counsel and say, do you think I'll save that woman or I'll save that man? Like they're real rascals. Now he gets drunk every night and she does this and he does that. God, you see, supersedes all that because that's why the Bible calls the blood of Jesus the precious blood of the Lamb. Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us. Makes us absolutely pure and clean from all sin and from all unrighteousness. God does not look at you once you've come under the blood as filthy and dirty, but he looks at you as a clean child of God. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. He goes further. He forgets your past sins. God forgets something you and me can't even do. God can do. And he says, thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember them no more. So God willeth. The will of God is the ground of all counsel. That's the counsel you need. God's will. Somebody could say to you, I'll tell you, boy, I think you should do this. Young woman, you should do that. Is it God's will? If it's not God's will, it doesn't matter what they think, they're not God.
Amen.
It must be according to the will. And here is the will. Testament is an old English word for will. So when you read the New Testament, you're reading the new will. So when you read the New Testament, you're reading God's will. Is it God's will to heal me? Well, the will says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul does prosper. The will says in 1 Peter 2:24, he his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Because he did it at the cross. You just have to believe it. You were saved at the cross. So it is God's will. Let us look at this word. Immutability means unchangeable. We are working with someone here that can't change. I want to stress this morning. God's love for you will not change. And you could call on the Lord and you might have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month. That does not change the fact that you're saved. Because the word of God clearly says in Romans 10 and 9 that if you confess your mouth and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Lord doesn't save you for a week or a month. The Lord saves you for all time and all eternity. That's why there's a word in this Bible that says, till as many as receive him, to them gives he power to become the sons of God. And another scripture says, you receive eternal life. The word eternal means what it says, eternal. You'll never be lost. You're saved for all eternity. I said the other week, when God puts you in, who can take you out? Nobody. Even if my opinion's different than yours, well, that makes no difference. It's not down to me. It's down to Almighty God. It's what He's done for you. Not what the preacher's done for you or some other great man. No matter how great they might be, it's all down to what Jesus Christ done for you on the cross.
Amen.
Jesus laid His life absolutely down for you. Amen. He died for you, suffered and bled for you. And God on the third day raised Him from the dead that you might have eternal life.
Amen.
God is immutable. He's unchangeable. Immutable of His purpose. Guaranteed of His assets. His perfection of His wisdom. The infiniteness of His goodness. The absoluteness of His sovereignty. The omnipotency of His power. All these things come about because of His immutability, His unchangeableness. So God's power never diminishes or slacks off. His will to save never changes. Some people say, well, it's not God's will to save today like it used to be. Where did He read that from in the Bible? Nowhere. It can't change. Not only can it not change, and people preach a lot about God's mercy's going to finish and God's mercy's going to be over. You can argue that point and prove that wrong. Because the psalmist says clearly, the mercy of the Lord endure forever. And Jesus says, none have I lost that Thou hast given me. Brother, we're at the last moment. We are at the end time, but everyone that's going to be saved will get saved. The Lord will lose none. That's why God lays upon men's hearts and women's hearts to pray for people to get saved. It's not because they decided to do it. It's because God in His great counsel decided. And by the Spirit of God, He moves you and He moves me to go out and reach out and try and get that last one and bring them in. That's the counsel of God that determined that. We're just the outworking of that. But it's ultimately God. That's why we cannot give the glory to the man. Doesn't matter how good the man is. He could be the best preacher ever. We must give the glory to the Lord. And only to the Lord. You see, God in His assets being unchangeable. Malachi 3:6 says, for I am the Lord. I change not. God never changes. So if the Bible says it shall come to pass in the last days, according to Joel and the book of Romans and the book of Acts, and there's it right through different scriptures, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God can't change that. And a brother, I think he prayed or he said the other week, and it's so true. God in the beginning laid out a way which man would be saved. Now, even from the Old Testament, I can preach you the cross, and I can preach you Jesus Christ from the Old Testament. Then when we come up into the New Testament, it's no longer attack, but you're seeing it. It's the Lord Himself. Not just a shadow of what was coming, or as Hebrews says, a figure of the true, but Christ Himself. Now, the way the Lord's led out to be saved remains the same. It can't be changed. So there's no fancy way to come. Now, if you don't believe the way this fellow says it, or this fellow, you'll not be saved. Where's it in the Bible? The Bible says clear, it shall come to pass in the last days that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you not believe in predestination? I absolutely do, but I'm not God. God knows everyone that's going to come.
Amen.
But I am not God. And God tells me to preach it to whosoever.
Amen.
And He commissioned the church in Matthew and Mark and even in the book of Acts, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel.
Amen.
He didn't say preach your organization or a new form of a religion. He said preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we don't believe that you're saved through the power of water regeneration. We believe regeneration power comes through the blood of Jesus Christ. Only. By faith alone, in Christ alone, you're saved. I tell you, God's word's not complicated. His counsel always must needs be so, as darkness cannot come out of light. No, so nor changeable counsel from an immutable nature. You can't get a counsel that's changeable from an immutable God. Your counsel could change. Mine could change. I'm a man. I'm prone to failure. So are you, whether you want to believe it or not. You're not always right. Now you can be quiet. I don't care if you don't amen a thing. I know this Bible is the truth. And you can never let on to me, and I can't let on to you, that I'm some sort of a superior person, and I'll never make a mistake, but we know that's not right. I could make a mistake before I'm home today. I could go out that door and say something to the wife that I shouldn't say. She could do it with me. And I'm not God. But you see, now, let's turn the coin. You can't do that with God.
Amen.
God makes no mistakes.
Right.
He's immutable.
Right.
He's absolutely immutable. Amen. He cannot make mistakes. There's nothing that can come out of God that's wrong. He says, I make the light and I make the darkness. He does it all.
That's right.
Satan was created by God. Do you know that?
Yes.
He made everything.
Amen.
And there's one verse says, and they consist by him. That means they're maintained by Almighty God. Amen. It's Almighty God that this world's maintained by. Amen. So whether they say it's global warming or this warming or some other nonsense, God's still in control. And a wee fellow come over to you, and I'm sure you've all heard it, and he'd say, isn't the weather changeable? Oh, it is, yes. And they'll talk about all the weather changeable. And you know, doesn't it say in the Bible that you'll not know the difference when it's near the end of the world? No, it doesn't say that. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says summer, winter, and seasons will remain while the earth remains. And here I have news for you, even in the millennium. Every man will sit under his own tree. It won't be a banana tree or an apple tree. It's a vine tree. How many knows that?
Right.
Don't change the scripture. I know there's a lot of Ribena men about today. But the word of God doesn't say that.
Glory.
Fella said one time, you know, there's a man and he couldn't take communion because if he took communion and he drunk, if his lips once touched wine, he'd return back to alcohol. The Bible says when you're born again, you're a new creature. So that man is not the man that was controlled with the wine. He is a different man now. The word of God says he or she is a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If God's counsel be changed, it must be to the better. Or worse, listen to this. To be better, it cannot be. For such is the perfection of God's wisdom as at first determined matters to be best. God won't change it and say, right, I know I told you that, but here's a better idea. Now, you can go from the will of God, which is perfect, into his permissive will. But that doesn't mean God's changed. That just means you didn't want to walk in the perfect will. Now, I know you're looking at me again. It'll make no difference to that either, because that's absolutely a fact. People can rebel and not walk in God's perfect will. They'll walk in his permissive will. And you know the thing about it is, there's a lot of people in the permissive will. Now, you read the life story of William Branham in a book called The Prophet Visits of Africa. And you'll read that he tells he was out of God's will. And hailstones rained on their meetings because he disobeyed God. And people were healed and saved in the meetings. And a Pentecostal man says, Brother Branham, this is the permissive will of God, it's something else. And he went by himself and told another brother in private, he said, you see, this brother doesn't actually know what could have happened if we'd have been in the perfect will. The permissive will might look good, but not like the perfect will. But that much still happened. This boy thought it was great. But what could have happened if it had been in the perfect will of God? Now, we cannot be in the perfect will of God if we're listening to our mother or our father that's not saved, that gives us ungodly Christian, advice. You know, unbelievers giving believers advice doesn't work. Because they're not saved. They're not regenerated. They can have an opinion. And there's so many people can turn you away from the things of God with their own godly advice. Oh, but I don't think he should do this. Gee, how would they know? They've never been born again. The Spirit of God's not speaking through them. The Spirit of God's not moving through them. They don't spend time praying before the Father and reading the Word of God and praying for you and believing God for you. They don't do that. They're speaking out of order. But good advice is good. You can get godly advice. You can get a word of wisdom from a man or a woman of God, which will be right because it's by the Spirit of God. Let me read you this wee statement from a message. Does God ever change his mind about his word? So we see, God, for God ever change his mind about his word, his original word, who he calls, that's who he ordains. No one else can take that place. No one could take Moses' place. No matter how many Korahs raised up and how many Dathans, it was Moses God's called regardless. Now I am feeling led again this morning. I emphasise it Wednesday night. I've been praying this morning. You might set your imagination, Brother Paul. Well, that's a good one. Leave that alone. Amen. But I am telling you here this morning, there's men and women in here and God's called you. God has called you for a purpose. And you might think you're a failure, and I don't care if the devil takes a full week to preach to you, you're a failure, for that's who he is, the student. My Bible tells me it's him. He says that Satan is an accuser of the brethren. The Holy Spirit won't condemn you and accuse you, that's the devil. God has a work for you, and only you can do the work that God has chosen for you to do. I can't do it. No one else can do it. And somebody could come and preach and say, well, my brother, you know, if you don't line up to this and that, God will throw you out over the head sort of thing and pick somebody else. Nonsense. That's not the Bible. God doesn't work like that. If God said he's going to do something with you, he'll do it with you. You're the man for it. Proverbs 8:14 says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. This is God. The God should not be able to discern what is better or worse. Cannot stand with the infiniteness of his wisdom and understanding, such as the perfection of God's wisdom. As he said, not only to have counsel and wisdom, but also by an excellency and a property to be understanding. God is absolutely perfection. Nothing can be changed. That God should not care. Listen, this is the reasoning now. And then wrote these things and put them down here. You see, when your mind reasons with you and it reasons with God and it wants away argument, well, you better lay it all down and take God's will. For the Bible tells me the mind is at enmity with God. That's why the Word of God says we need our minds renewed with the washing of the water of the Word. Renewed minds is what we need. That's why churches that don't preach, you'll not get your mind renewed. You need to hear the Word of God preached under the Spirit of God and read and expounded upon so that God can speak to your mind by his Word, because there's so much stuff in this world to do it. That God should not take care whether the better or worse fallout cannot stand with the infiniteness of his goodness. Did the Lord at first so order all things, or when he took a view of them? He saw them all, and he said, they're very good. So some fella, you know, God made a mistake and all. No. The Bible tells me, and if you go to Genesis 1 and 31, and God saw everything that he had made. So first of all, God made everything. And he said, well, this has been a big mess here I've made. You don't read that. The Word of God says, and behold, it was very good. He doesn't even say good, he says very good. And when God saved you, he made a good job of it. Don't you think it was some minister, for if it's a minister, I'll tell you what, we'll all go out and make conversions. You can't, it's God. Man only plays his part, but it's ultimately God. And the evening and the morning were the first 6 days. Very good. Everything God does is not good, it's very good. So the fact that you're saved is very good. The fact that you're here, it's very good. Psalms 45 and 6 says, thy throne, O God, is forever a scepter. Forever, the scepter of thy kingdom has a right scepter. God does not make mistakes. He's immutable. He's unchangeable. Can it be thought that he should not care how things fall out? Never. This idea, you see, this is something that I felt when I was praying that God really emphasized to me. That the enemy wants to speak in your mind and he wants to tell you that God's not really too worried with you. That's the devil that's talking to you, not the Spirit of God. Because the Word of God says, I have good thoughts for you. Good thoughts, not evil. Thoughts of good. But the enemy wants to tell you that God doesn't care about you. And she doesn't care about you, or he doesn't care about you, because he knows if he keeps hovering that into your mind and into your thinking, that he'll bring you under a spirit of oppression. But I want to tell you that the Word of God breaks the spirit of oppression. And the Lord really loves you. And the Lord really cares for you. And the Lord's talking to you now, just like the enemy talked to you and said, God doesn't care. God is talking to you, and God is saying, I love you, and I give myself for you. I have good thoughts for you. Good thoughts. Don't believe the voice of the enemy. Listen to this, that God should be overswayed. I wrote this. That God should be overswayed with a superior power. Where is it? Show me a superior power that can oversway God. You cannot do it because God is almighty. Amen. Every single thing is inferior to him. He is superior. So there's no superior power that can oversway God. And if you're dependent fully on God, the Lord will keep you. Amen. And the Lord will sustain you. Even when you think it won't happen, God will still do it. Amen. And you look back and you say, boy, God did it. Even when I thought it couldn't be done, God done it. Amen. Look at this. And forced to suffer the worst, to fall out, cannot stand with the absoluteness of his sovereignty and omnipotency of his power. Can't work. God's superior. Psalms 115 and 3 says, but our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever hath pleased. God has done whatsoever he's pleased to do. The devil does not dictate to God and say, now your arms up the back, God, and you'll do what I tell you. That's nonsense. William Branham, being a prophet, said, Satan is only a tool in the hand of God. God made him. Not only did God make the devil, but the devil's a time coming where he's going to end. And the Word of God says he knows he has but a short time to go. And when he stands at the last and they look at Satan and they'll say, is this the man that made the nations tremble? Is this him? See, we have this idea. He'll come in this room 9 feet tall with a set of horns on him and, you know, a big black cloak. That's absolutely nonsense. He could be a wee boy with a collar around his neck and a pulpit. And that's scripture. Because the Bible says many are transformed as angels of light, but they're not the ministers of Satan. Brother, how will they know them? They preach not according to the law and the prophets. There's no light in them. If they leave the foundation and point you to another Christ or another gospel, it's because there's no light in them. That's why you know when old Johnny Red Sox, as Big M called him, you know who I'm talking about, when he came out and he said, you don't need to come to Jesus, come straight to me. And then somebody says, I don't actually believe he's Antichrist. Well, I can assure you he's an apostate, right, with that statement. And he's absolutely antichrist, because anything that's against the word is antichrist. Because it's anti-word and it makes it antichrist. And not matter if a Protestant minister said it, he'd be the same. So we see clearly, see, God is an absolute immutability in his counsel. Unchangeable. Absolutely. Look, these are all written in here, these wee verses, these wee words and phrases and signs for a reason. So that we can pull these out and look at them. They're absolutely fantastic, I think. This is one special point here I want to make, wherein we ought to be followers of God, namely immutable in our good counsels and purposes. We must be steadfast and unmovable. God wants us to be steadfast. And God wants us to be unmovable. But we cannot be steadfast and we cannot be unmovable if we are driven to and fro with every wind and wave of doctrine. We must know the doctrine and know the will of God.
Amen.
Now, somebody thinks, well, I need to learn more. No, you've missed it already. If you think that. The question was posed to Jesus, what must we do that we might work the works of God? Will you go out here and do this miracle? No. That's not what he answered. We're not saying this, we're not saying that. You'll see nothing unless God permits it. The idea of ways wrong to start with, it's him. His good pleasure, what he wills. And happily if he uses one of us, praise God.
Amen.
That'll up to him. What must I do that I might work the works of God? Jesus says, that ye might believe on him whom he hath sent.
Amen.
That is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when you take that phrase, don't stop there. Throw it over to Mark 16 and read it. And Mark 16 says, now you've established what must I do that I might work the works of God. Believe in him who sent Jesus Christ. Then Mark 16 follows up and it says, these signs shall follow.
Amen.
Them that believe. So you must believe in him. Then you go to Mark 16 and it says, these signs shall follow them that believe.
Right.
They'll speak with new tongues.
Amen.
They'll take up a serpent and it won't harm them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the authority of power to the believer because of what he done. Jesus Christ on the cross. But how did it start? Started because you believed.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Somebody could say, we're meeting in vain. Doesn't say that here. You're going to church in vain. Doesn't say it here. It says the opposite. It says, gather often. As you see the day approaching, gather often. Your neighbor is not in vain. It's not up to you if 100 get saved or 1,000 get saved. That's God's business. Do not read the Old Testament for God rebuked a servant for because he counted the heads. How many knows the word of God says that? He went down and he counted them. God wasn't pleased with that. Now you look on numbers or you look on the Lord. Now I'm not saying we want to see people saved. We want to see people come. But we'll not do it if we condemn what ourselves and everybody else not happen. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Whatever God has called you to do, if God has called you to give a wee track out, it's not in vain.
Amen.
If God has called you to go somewhere and pray for somebody, it's not in vain.
Amen.
If God has called you to preach a sermon, it's not in vain. Because the word of God says it's not in vain. And remember what we're talking about. We're talking about the immutability of God's counsel. And this is God's counsel, it's word.
Amen.
But it's words as well. 5 minutes and I'm closing. I can't believe the fast this clock's going. But it's moving. Too quick. You know, when I was getting married, John said when he tells you, looks at his watch, don't believe it. Most of us preachers are the same, aren't we? But I'm going to close. Just one moment and I'm closing. One more minute and I'm closing. We must continue in faith, grounded and settled. God wants us to continue. God doesn't want us here, there, or here, yonder, thrown to and fro. He wants us established and settled in the Word of God. Colossians 1:23 says, if ye continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, he doesn't say, grounded and settled, and be not removed from the hope of your organization. No! The gospel. I'll tell you, you will have to agree with me, especially these brothers that preach. Well, everybody. Isn't it the trick of the devil to get you into everything just as long as you're not preaching the gospel? Isn't it? And they'll show you what's wrong here and wrong there and wrong somewhere else. And you can spend your whole life. I've known men that's done it. And they're fixing everything all the time and they never preach the gospel. And the devil's laughing. But look what this verse says. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not removed away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Wherefore I, Paul, am a minister of the Lord, no, of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm going to close. I'm going to keep them a word. But now I'm not immutable. I could fail to do that, but he is immutable.
Amen.
Let us stand our feet and let us close our eyes. You could say, brother, I didn't get much. That might be, but I know God's speaking to people in this room.
Yeah.
I know he is. I can tell you the Spirit of God can go right further. Don't you listen to the enemy. He wants you to go back. He wants to tell you you're not good enough. That you're a failure, that you're a disappointment. Oh, he has all the sermons. He's been at them a long time. There's nobody can preach a better sermon than the devil, you know. Didn't he preach one to Eve? But the Holy Spirit's superior.
Amen.
The Spirit of God is saying that the Lord loves you. And the Lord has a purpose for you. And nobody else can do it, only you.
Amen.
God wants you. When every head's bowed, every eye's closed in this room, if God has spoke to you and you want prayer, lift your hand. Every eye's closed, every head's bowed. God bless you. God bless you. You be sincere wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. The devil's a liar.
Amen.
Now I'm going to say something this morning, and I am speaking to somebody in this room. I don't want to embarrass nobody, but I am telling you. The enemy's even sent people tell you to try and put you back. I know I'm being bold to say that, but I know it. That's a lie of the devil. The Lord loves you. The Lord loves you. And even if you've made a mistake or done something you shouldn't have done, the Lord still loves you. You're still saved. Because the first moment that you called on the name of the Lord, you were saved. I want you to be encouraged this morning. And if you do make a mistake, you just ask the Heavenly Father and say, Lord, cleanse me afresh in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow before you this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do thank you for your immutability of your counsel, that you're unchangeable, that you took counsel with no man, but with your own self. And you know the end from the beginning. Father, I ask that you'll touch every heart and every life. And I come against the voice of the enemy that spoke to people in this room. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray the Holy Spirit will speak. I pray the comfort of the Spirit of God will come upon your people afresh. In the name of Jesus Christ today. Bless your word to all of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to walk in the counsel of your will, which is your word. Lead us and guide us, we pray. Father, for those away on a break, bless them and strengthen them and refresh them. For all those that's here, bless them and lead us and guide us. As we commit the service to you, bless the song leading you comes. Bless your musicians. And get to yourself all the praise and all the glory. So thou would come or call, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as our brother comes. Don't forget our gospel service tonight at 6 o'clock. The Lord bless each one.
Is